This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, man. Paul Rasmussen, Amazon. You're going to hear a lot about that today. And if you haven't, I guarantee you will. So, Paul, this could disrupt the flow. Amazon, obviously, is the number one way people online shop and get it delivered.
Well, so many times I've been sent a message by my sister out in Seattle. I have a 14-year-old niece and a 13-year-old nephew. And over the years, especially when they were younger, Shannon would share with me what gifts they wanted. And these would be gifts that I could purchase on Amazon. They'd be shipped to their house. And then Shannon would wrap them for me if I couldn't be there for Christmas. And it was so handy to be able to do that. And think about this, Larry. This is the Teamsters workers that are employed by Amazon in big markets. We're talking about major hubs, New York, Chicago, Atlanta, San Francisco, Southern California. Yeah, I don't know how many of our packages in Pittsburgh go through a hub somewhere, but I wouldn't be surprised to find out that many of them do. And this could affect people right here.
And there's a kind of a misleading part of this story is that the Amazon people were saying, we're not represented by the people who are saying represent us.
Oh, not only that, they refused to recognize the union. They refused to even enter contract talks with the Teamsters. While the Teamsters have managed to sign up union members who work for Amazon, and Amazon has, and you've seen them in your neighborhood, they probably deliver a package or two to your address. These contractors that work for Amazon, the union fellow that we heard from at the top of the hour says, well, isn't it interesting? They say they're not really employees, they're contract workers, and so they wouldn't be part of a union, yet they're driving an Amazon truck and wearing an Amazon uniform. So this contentiousness is going to come to a head, and the Teamsters have picked a critical moment to make their point.
And we'll see what happens from there. Meanwhile, the latest on the New York City killer, Luigi Mangione.
You know, he often, what we see in the newscast is, you know, accused gunman or alleged shooter, that kind of thing.
And that's how it should be framed.
You know, I mean, technically, but he's, you know, well, you called him.
You're correct.
So they're going to haul him over to the Blair County Courthouse today in Hollidaysburg, which I guess is closest to the prison where he's being held. And there's two hearings, as we just heard from Anna Schechter. The first one is on the charges here in Pennsylvania. There has to be a preliminary hearing for that. But then when that is over, then they're going to have another hearing dealing with his extradition to New York. And reports have been indicating for the last 24 hours, Mangione will waive extradition. He could be on his way to New York this afternoon, for all we know. And that all gets started around 8:30, so we'll be tracking that very, very closely.
And you mentioned tonight, Pitt's volleyball team ranked number one in the country. The Lady Panthers taking on the Louisville Cardinals, and it's a home game for the Cardinals. They are hosting the Final Four. Then Nebraska and Penn State will play after, and the winners of those two games will play Sunday afternoon for the national championship. There is a chance that it could be Pitt-Penn State. In the meantime, had a chance to catch up with the ACC Player of the Year and most likely Player of the Year around the country, Olivia Babcock, who's a sophomore, came all the way from Los Angeles. I asked her, what was it about Pitt and Pittsburgh that drew her here?
Landed here on my visit, I already felt like I was part of a team. It really didn't feel like I was being hosted. It just felt like I was one of them immediately. And then the coaching staff was just so supportive and so comforting, and I feel like a lot of people will just tell you what you want to hear, but I feel like the coaching staff was really honest with me, and it was very clear, and I really respected that.
And Dan Fisher is the coach of the year.
What an amazing young lady she is.
What a talent. And by the way, they had a visit from the Nike representatives that gave them all kind of gear.
Swag.
Yeah, big time. So good luck to the Panthers and good luck to the Nittany Lions.
It's a really top-end deal. I mean, Nebraska, they were last year's champs, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Pitt, this is their fourth consecutive Final Four appearance, though they haven't been able to get through this round. So,
and if I understand it correctly, Penn State is no stranger to high performance in women's volleyball either.
Right. They've been consistent, too. So that's what makes it so fun for the region is there's a lot of people who maybe never followed volleyball before may be watching, especially if it's Pitt-Penn State Sunday at 3.
Well, they play at 6:30 tonight, the Panthers do, and we'll know when we get here tomorrow morning what's the lineup coming up for Sunday.
All right, that's what people are talking about, and I got a text from John Shumway. We were talking about the Free Care Fund, this little historical journey, because we said it's the 71st Children's Hospital Telethon. That's true. Children's Hospital first opened in Oakland in 1890 with just 15 beds. The hospital's founders made a promise no child would be denied medical care regardless of family's ability to pay, hence the Free Care Fund. And then local media, it started with 1933, the press, Pittsburgh Press, Old Newsboys. These are former paper boys, obviously, back in the day. Then the first broadcast was KDK Radio in 1946. So do the math for the radio, you know, component of that. So that would be...
What a marathon. Wow.
And then TV, which back then was WDTV before KDKA Television, got involved in the early 50s. And KDK Radio, since 1954, have been doing this collectively together. So technically, 71st annual telethon, but it goes back to 1946 with KDK Radio.
Wow. Thanks, John.
Yes. And I'll be paired with John Shumway today at 4 o'clock on KDK TV. Colin Dunlap will be doing his broadcast from Children's Hospital, and we always appreciate your generosity. These are the stories driving the news every weekday afternoon. Colin Dunlap brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the yellow van. Larry Richard and Paul Rasmussen, I was noticing something I thought was really unusual. The ability of, in this case, to track somebody, especially when they're looking for a criminal, especially what we've seen in this case in New York, where you have video and then it's laced together with other video and photographs and pictures, and they're able to piece a timeline together.
So much evidence, much video.
It's incredible, actually, what they can do. Now, have you ever seen one of these Google cars that have the cameras on it, and what they're doing is mapping?
Right, like they go through the neighborhood and then you get a street view. And they do it often. They update it. So you see the new renovations for buildings and things like that.
Yeah, exactly. So apparently this Google street car that was filming was rolling through a neighborhood, a tiny Spanish village, and it got an assist from Google Maps when the street view camera happened to snap someone moving what the cops say turned out to be a body in broad daylight. The man is facing a trial for murder based on the Google car driving by at the most opportune time for police. You believe that?
Wow.
That's actually incredible.
Did you hear, by the way, what Mangione's mother told investigators? This is while they were looking for him and they were interviewing her.
Basically, it didn't surprise her is what she said, right?
She said that this seems like something he could do. And I thought, how heartbreaking that must have been for the mother to have to talk about her own son in that way.
Yeah, I mean, this is not that there's a typical, and again, he's a suspect, but with the video that we've seen and we assume he's going to waive extradition to New York today, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you have someone who's the valedictorian of a school, that's the highest academic achievement you can get, right? Top of your class. So you would think somebody with that level of intelligence would be doing something more productive and creative. But somehow, some way, they're accusing him of going down some, you know, wormhole mentally. And we'll see what comes of that. Hey, I wanted to give you an update on, remember when the monkeys escaped from the lab in South Carolina?
Oh, yeah. Are there still some on the loose?
Four. Four monkeys are loose in South Carolina. Now, instead of drone sightings in South Carolina, they have monkey sightings.
I know they've been trapping them with, like, fruit and other food, right?
Yeah, and it worked for most of them, but these four monkeys, the monkeys have been reported all around Florida now. They went south. I guess South Carolina south enough.
That's a long way for a monkey. We're talking about a good part of South Carolina, all of Georgia, coastal Georgia. And so I guess folks back where I used to live in Jacksonville are on the alert.
Well, one woman saw a monkey on her fence giving her the finger. And another ran through the drop-off line for a school. So the kids were getting, dropped off at their school, and a monkey ran right through the line of them going into the school.
I don't know if that's such a shock, because in Florida, it's not unusual to see all kinds of things shooting across, including alligators.
Oh, yeah, there's that. And then I saw, the famous Christmas song, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, viral video. A couple weeks ago showed a group of people walking out of a school, and a little mini herd of deer came running through, and Grandma literally got run over by a reindeer. She's okay, but it knocked her down, and it was a big surprise. And, of course, once they found out she was okay, then it became...
Well, it's life imitating art.
Grandma got... Or as we would say here, Grandma got runned over. Joe... Counting them down, 6 days till Christmas. Big weekend coming up. A lot of people scrambling. Get stuff done. We'll continue to bring you updates on two stories that could cause major disruptions, and that is a Amazon strike for obvious reasons for packaging. And then the government thought they had a deal to avoid a shutdown, and that's changed. So if you just woke up, tomorrow is the deadline, and what happens if they don't come to an agreement in the next 36 hours? We'll keep you posted. Well, I'll tell you who has come to an agreement. 4-year contracts have now been agreed to by both the union and the Pittsburgh Public School District for teachers and other professionals, paraprofessionals, technical and clerical members as well. Joining us on the Big K Morning Show is Gene Walker, board member. Gene, good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I would imagine a lot of people are happy that these deals got done.
I would think so. I mean, I think as a board and as a district, we're happy. And it sounds like from everyone that I've talked to that the teachers and clerical workers and everyone involved is also very happy that this is done and out of the way.
Right. It can become very contentious. In this case, kind of kept it quiet, rolling along, and boom, you got a deal. So that solidifies things in terms of the contract, those three contracts for the next 4 years. But as a board member, and you well know, you have financial challenges too overall with the budget, right?
Correct. Yeah, I mean, we still face some significant challenges that we continue to work through.
And those challenges are, and I know we've heard talk about the potential for school closures. That's not going to happen next year, if it happens at all, but something's got to give, right?
Yeah, I think so. And there are a couple of factors that are, really pressing hard on us. One is, a tax diversion that's been going to the city for 20 years that we would like to see changed. And the other is, stabilization of our property tax income through a tax reassessment by the county.
And how likely do you think that is? Because the county's having their own financial challenges as well.
I think we have a much a much clearer route to working with the county to get tax reassessment so we can stabilize some of those property taxes, not just from a revenue standpoint for the district, but also for a payment stability for residents who own homes. I think the tax diversion through the city is going to take a little bit more time and be a little bit more challenging.
And there have been, obviously, a lot of retractions in terms of use of space in downtown, which adds to the economic challenges, too. The assessments might not be better in many cases. They might go the other way, too. That's a possibility, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are some instances where folks will see an increase in their taxes if we do a reassessment. Some people will see it lowered. You know, the good thing about all of this is there is a legal provision that prevents a windfall for any taxing body. So even when a reassessment happens, we would all have to adjust our tax rates so that people aren't getting crushed in those first couple of years. And then there'd be a gradual increase that I think most of us would be okay absorbing long term.
We're with Gene Walker, Pittsburgh Public School Board member. And Gene, the most important part of all of this is the education of the students, you know, our future, our collective future. And there have been some positive things. You know, it's not all doom and gloom all the time. They probably feel that way sometimes, but test scores have been improving.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's been some really positive notes. Some of our test scores, especially from reading in third grade, have improved. Our graduation rates are improving. Our enrollment seems to be stabilizing after a long time of decline. Next month, I believe we'll hear about math scores, and so we'll see what happens with those. But there is a lot of good happening at Pittsburgh Public Schools, and we just need to be able to tell that story as we go forward.
And looking into the new year, what is the most pressing issue for the board?
You know, the next thing up is really a feasibility report from the superintendent regarding the school consolidation plan. And that's going to take a lot of work as we continue to figure out how do we, you know, get our district in a position that allows us to provide the highest quality education for our kids and sets us up for the future.
And what's the last day of school for Pittsburgh Public headed into the holidays? Do you know?
Tomorrow is the last day for our kids until after our students and teachers until after the new year. So they have one more day after today.
Wow. That's everybody's looking forward to a little break, no doubt.
I think so.
All right, Gene, appreciate it. Really, it's an important day to announce the 4-year contracts again by the teachers, other professionals, paraprofessionals, technical and clerical workers as well. For Pittsburgh Public Schools. Gene Walker, school board member. Have a great holiday season, and hopefully we'll catch up in the new year.
Thank you, and happy holidays to everyone out there, too. Have a great day.
Show. A lot going on as you race between here and the end of the year to tie things up, and I'm sure a lot of people feel that. We're looking at big changes coming for the new year, obviously, first and foremost, with President-elect Donald Trump taking office on January 20th, and then this government shutdown. Now, you're talking about Amazon coming up with their strike going on and how that will affect so many people. Obviously, so many people have now come to rely on Amazon for deliveries.
So how much would a strike at certain facilities around the country affect overall deliveries? What kind of an impact will it have?
That's a great question.
How many Teamsters union members are there who work for Amazon compared to their entire workforce?
We'll get a clearer focus on the impact of that. And then this government shutdown. So I know we hear about this, and Marty and I talk about it. Yeah, it's just, you know, it comes and goes. Most people don't pay much attention to it.
Well, we have a week until we run out of funding, and then the government has to close down. And they had a deal, Larry.
This was
a bipartisan deal that everyone had voted through, and then there were objections from some Republicans, including President Trump, apparently not actively involved, but behind the scenes. And some other people raised concerns about the spending that was in this continuing resolution. And so now they're saying no.
I think when we talked to Guy Reschenthaler before, you know, he explained it really well. It's like a Christmas tree. So the tree is at the heart of what you're trying to achieve, right?
Yep, but there's all this and other
then,
stuff.
And then both sides are laying on all kind of ornaments that, you know, stuff that, and sometimes, and most of the time, it's completely unrelated to what you're trying to
do. A really good description.
And so you end up with this highly decorated Christmas tree. Now, it was Elon Musk, apparently, that also read through it and pointed out, because he is going to be one of the watchdogs for Donald Trump on cutting government spending.
DOGE, the Department of Government Economics, I can't remember. Here's the deal. He posted on X, Elon Musk did, that any member of the House or Senate who votes for the outrageous spending bill deserves to be voted out in 2 years. And so he's throwing all of his weight behind us. He has 200 million followers on X.
200 million.
He has tremendous influence.
He does. And now he has the total support of President-elect Trump. And Trump then said, don't vote for this. So that was enough to tip what they thought they had a bipartisan deal done. And now it's not going to be. So
I heard comments from the House Democratic leader, Hakeem Jeffries, saying, hey, we had a deal. So I heard that this morning before. So I don't know where this stands. I thought that the bill had passed. I guess it has not yet. They have an agreement, but they haven't passed it.
Well, it's coming at a bad time, obviously, with the holidays. And tomorrow is the last day they'll be in session till after the first of the year, well after, right?
Yeah. I guess they'll be out of session until...
So here's how
until
you fix
the inauguration
this.
Or something like that, huh?
Here's how you fix this. You tell them, look, nobody's going home for Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever you celebrate until this deal's done.
Fat chance.
Close the door and just walk away.
Yeah, they're gonna head for home and
apparently
let things unwind, I guess. Why can't they just pass a bill to get them through like a 30-day period until the new Congress is in session? Why can't they just pass a bill that will fund necessary government services without all the trappings, and then they can squabble over what's to come in the future?
Well, they keep doing this. They keep kicking it down the road, and they never get a fully comprehensive deal. So it's like, all right, we'll deal with it. In this case, March.
And I think, Larry, if you got 100 people in a room from all walks of life, from all political parties, affiliated and unaffiliated, and ask them, what would you prefer to happen right now? I would be willing to venture that at least 75%, even more, would say, just fund essential government services, keep the government running at the minimum, and worry about the rest later when the new Congress is in session. Right?
Right.
And yeah.
So there's some
reasonable people would agree to that.
Some people don't want that to happen, obviously, but and I haven't read it. Full disclosure, I have no idea what's in it, but
it's thick.
And they're suggesting that there are raises in there for politicians, enhancements for their health care, all these other things. And that's part of like, hey, do what you got to do to make this right and stop taking care of yourself on the side.
Yeah, and DOGE, by the way, now I remember, it's Department of Government Efficiency.
Right. I thought it was Dodge the first time I saw it. It was like...
Me too. I did too.
Dodge big government. Well, we'll see what happens.
Maybe they'll get something done today. Maybe they'll put their heads together and come up with something that people can agree on quickly, and then they can move on. I don't know. Stranger things have happened. I don't think it's likely.
But for a change, normally, again, to Marty's point, you hear about this, and what is the average person getting up, going to work? It's like, well, this doesn't affect me, unless it does. And in this case, it might affect a lot of people if they don't get a deal. So we'll keep you posted.